with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink, and he's just told me we're reviewing Black Panther this week, which is kind of awkward because due to a slight admin error, I've watched all the Pink Panther movies in preparation. It's Mark Searby.
Well, do you know what? Hello, by the way. Hello. Do you know what? That's still good because I adore those movies. I adore them. I am a huge Peter Sellers fan. Obviously, yes. Some people say that, you know, that's not his best work. He's better in other things. And I do agree to a certain degree. But, you know, I mean, let's face it, those Pink Panther movies are amazing.
Classic, aren't they?
They are classic, slapstick classic, you know. And you've got A Shot in the Dark there, which was the second movie, which was a bit more serious, you know, not as slapsticky as you know, the later movies. But I just think they're all great, apart from obviously the one that they did after he had passed.
Steve Martin in.
Yeah, well, the less said about those, the better, shall we say. The Steve Martin movies, yes. But, well, listen, I'm happy to watch the Pink Panther movies. I'm happy to watch the Black Panther movies as well.
Any,
no problem.
Any movies involving panthers?
I guess so,
neither of them
kind
of do, actually, in a weird way.
What about a movie based on the song Walk Like a Panther?
Oh, is that, okay, is that a thing?
It's a song from the 90s. All C and I versus, his name escapes me now. I really apologise for this. Tony Christie.
Oh, wow.
It's a song. It's a song. Seriously.
Didn't
like,
know that.
After we've done the reviews, look it up, see if you can play it. It's actually a really good song as well. It's very popular in the 90s.
Yeah,
really popular.
Do a bit of research while we're chatting.
It's called Walk Like a Panther. It's really good. Really good. See, this is the thing. I'm bringing the old school here. If you ask me about a new song, I'd have no idea whatsoever. I think my musical knowledge finished in about 2001.
Cardi B, more like Cardigan. Yeah, I know you mean.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. But ask me about a song that's got Panther in the title, I instantly know about it.
He's there for that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. But obviously, talking of Panthers, we should review the first movie because it's a big one, isn't it?
We've been waiting a while for this, haven't we?
We have been waiting a while. Building. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's your take on the first Black Panther? Because that came out before you and I started reviewing movies. So I know that you're a Marvel fan.
Was it that long ago? Blimey, yeah, I suppose it was.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was good. I thought it was like the first Marvel movie, really, where they kind of went a little bit less mainstream and thought, right, you know what? We're going to do something different here and we're going to go off in a separate direction. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly the same. It felt less like a Marvel movie and more like a movie of its own doing, you know, that it found its own feet and it went, right, we're going to do this. And the thing is, obviously, the majority of that was down to Chadwick Boseman in the lead as T'Challa.
Yes, he was amazing.
Black Panther. Yeah, I mean, he was brilliant and it wasn't, let's be honest. But then the question is for this sequel, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever,
it's not easy to say, is it?
It's not. I've been trying all week as well. A couple of times I've got it wrong. The question is, though, how do you follow up that first movie? And the problem is, as well, is how do you follow it up when your lead character, played by your lead actor, sadly passed?
How do you step into those very big shoes?
What do you do? And that's the question that writer-director Ryan Coogler had to answer, I think, with this sequel, obviously, after Chadwick Boseman died a few years ago. And the answer is that it's done very differently than I think most of us would have expected. This film is a much more dramatic affair than an action film. It focuses on grief, that basically the grief that inhabits Wakanda and how an entire nation learns to accept that their leader is gone. You know, this is a movie about struggling with grief. Obviously, we can see the parallels that are going on here with real life. With Chadwick Boseman. And then the way that the film sort of narrows in and it becomes sort of a story about Shuri and she's struggling every day because she blames herself. Right at the start of the movie, we see how T'Challa passed. And she blames herself because she couldn't save her brother from the illness that killed him. So she's racked with guilt. You know, she's got nobody to turn to and doesn't know how to process any of it as well. And I think that's where the film really succeeds, you know, when it's looking internally at the emotions that won't let go of people, you know, that won't let go of people who are closest to T'Challa, you know, like his girlfriend in there as well. And obviously the leader of the I'm going to say army, but it's not army. I'm trying to think of the word.
Yeah, the warriors.
The warriors. Thank you. Yes, yeah. That's probably the incorrect word as well. But whoever they are, you know,
the people with spears.
The amazing fighters. So you know, this is a movie about grief and about trauma and about healing as well. So it's not your average big, brash, bold Marvel movie. You know, there is something more human about it.
Yeah,
and that's the way you do a movie when you've been unfortunately hampered into doing something like that. I mean, look, there is action here. People are going, it's a Marvel movie. I need the action. There is. There's a couple of good set pieces, including a fight on a bridge. There's a big scale finale as well, as to be expected. And it feels like just the right amount of action in a film that isn't really about action as well. Hmm. That's the thing.
Okay, yeah.
There are a couple of issues, though, I think. The dodgy CGI is still here. I don't understand. Why can't Marvel get this right anymore? I don't understand.
They used to be fine, yeah.
They used to be fine, and then the past 3 or 4 years, most of the movies have had really bad CGI. This one's not as bad, but it's still here at times. But possibly, I think the film's biggest issue is the amount of new characters it tries to introduce. So it brings in like 3 new groups of characters, and all of them are pushing and jostling for position within the film and within the Wakanda realm as well. It gets a bit messy. And at times you're kind of going, what side are they on? I don't really understand. Where did they go? What's the origins of these people? Why are they trying to do that? So there's a lot. There's too many. There's far too much going on. And I think it kind of overwhelms the film a little bit too much. It certainly overwhelms the storyline at times as well. I'll say that. You know, there's bits where I'm like, ooh.
It's just the weight of Marvel, though, isn't it, really? Because they always have to bring in new characters for the next generation of Avengers film. There's so many people that have to bring into the story.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And as much as they go, well, you know, look, we're going to do these people who are in Wakanda. The thing is, now Wakanda, spoiler alert, maybe, Wakanda is now seen to the outside world. You know, the human race know they exist, and that's part of the story in this, is that there's some people trying to get the vibranium in Wakanda, etc., etc. And there's these people who are fish people, they call them. They come out the sea and whatever. So there's all of this going on, and as I said, it gets a bit messy, gets a bit bloated, really. But when the film is on point, which is when it's this intimate look at grief and how it's dealt with, then I think this is a very fine film. When it's trying to throw numerous baddies into the mix, it's too bloated, and, you know, 2 hours, 41 minutes doesn't help anybody.
God, plays a long film, isn't it?
It's a long film, but, you know, let's face it, some films can pull it off. You know, that's the thing. You watch some films and you go, didn't feel like that. This felt like it at times. So I think if you're coming to this movie for your usual Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff, then you're going to be disappointed. However, if you're coming to this film for some actual human emotion, something that Marvel movies rarely do, you're going to find a very good example of how superhero movies can deal very well with real-world situations and emotions on a very basic level, rather than hiding it amongst everything. They go, here it is. Here's grief. And we are going to make a movie about how to deal with it.
Brilliant. I feel like this is a bit of a shame that what Marvel have been doing lately is they've been sort of going a bit basic and a bit samey. And I think Stan Lee was all about dealing with sort of real life problems, but putting them in a superhero costume.
Yeah.
So that's nice that they've actually taken what's happened and worked with it and put it into the film.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, shout out to the writers and to the director as well for making a movie like this when most of us would probably have gone, I don't know, let's just shut the franchise down, you know.
Yeah, brave thing to do.
It really is. It really is. And they've pulled it off. I've got to be honest. They really pulled it off. So, I came away going, okay, different movie, liked it a lot. liked it a lot with what they had done because it was different.
Excellent. So Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, in cinemas?
In cinemas, and it's the best place to see it, to be honest with you, because some of the stuff looks amazing. I mean, the CGI is quite bad, but the costumes are brilliant. I mean, the costumes were brilliant in the first one anyway, let's be honest. But in this one, I kind of like that they've dialed it up. And there's sort of like an 80s vibe to a few of them as well, which I really liked. The soundtrack's fantastic as well. I've got to say that. It's much like the film. It's a different type of soundtrack than you would expect, but I like the soundtrack as well. I thought that was very good. So yes, in cinemas, you know, it's deserved to be on the big screen.
Excellent. Go wearing your best outfit and see if you can match any of them.
I don't think you will. They really put the work into those costumes. And to be honest with you, I'd be disappointed if there wasn't some awards recognition for some of the costumes in that.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Excellent. Good to hear a Marvel movie doing well. They've been a bit hard work lately.
Well, let's be honest. Phase 4 has been more down than up. Let's be honest here, you know. So I believe this is the last one in Phase 4. I think I read that online. And if it is, then yes, it's gone out on a high. But I think we can look back at Phase 4 and go, a real mixed bag. Yes. So, you know, a good ending.
Excellent. What else you got for us, Mark?
So on Netflix now is My Father's Dragon. Now, this is the story about Elmer Elevator. That's his surname, Elevator. Cool. Amazing. Who
that really lifts you up, doesn't it?
Yeah. He's a young boy. He's searching for a captive dragon on Wild Island and finds much more than he could ever have anticipated.
Well, I'd anticipate finding a dragon being pretty up there with...
well, yes. But blimey, you kind of would.
Even more than that.
There's other things. Now, this is an animated movie. It's the latest film from arguably the best animation house in the world right now, Cartoon Saloon, who are based in Ireland. They're responsible for the amazing Wolfwalkers. Oh, my goodness. That was one of my favourite films of 2020. They did the equally amazing Song of the Sea. They did the equally amazing Secret of Kells. They did the... Oh, look, you get the point, okay? They've only got
He's a bit of a fan.
But I am a fan. I really am a fan because they make everything so different. Yeah. That's the thing. Now, this film... Now, most of their movies were very adult, shall we say. They were dealing very much with adult themes that I think if a child had watched it, they'd kind of enjoy it, it'd be nice and whatever else, but the themes in there were very adult. Mm. This one... It's a lot softer, a more genteel viewing experience, but it's still amazing. This story is so multi-layered. You know, you have at the center of it this young boy, Elmer, who has moved to a new city with his mother. He's got no friends. But then one day, he walks down to the docks, and there he meets a whale who takes him to a special island. There, the island... which kind of lives and breathes in the middle of the ocean. It kind of looks like it should be in Dune or something like that. on this island, he meets a dragon, but the dragon's not scary, okay? In fact, he's really afraid because he's been sent on this quest to fulfill a prophecy that he will become a mighty dragon, fire-breathing, everything else like that. But he's really scared about it.
Oh, okay.
So the stories of the dragon and Elmer are basically... aligned in their search for being a stronger person, stronger dragon. You then have this coming of age story for the dragon. I know that sounds weird. I know it does. A coming of age story for a dragon.
Nice.
But it works beautifully well. It really does. And the fun side of it comes from the relationship between Elmer and the dragon as they find this sacred item that will help transform the dragon. Now, along the way, they've got to do battle with a bunch of animals who appear to be enemies. It's a little bit Jungle Book-ish.
Train Your Dragon.
Well, How to Train a Dragon, yes, I guess so. Pete's Dragon as well. There's also elements in there of Pixar's Inside Out. There's also, you know, the bit that I liked in Pixar's Soul movie was where they went to the other dimension. That was the bit that I liked in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of has that as well. Oh. It's kind of got that sort of thing in there as well. So this movie isn't ripping off Pixar or Disney or anybody else like that. Far from it. This movie is its own thing. It's his own beast, okay? Not that the dragon is a beast.
Good pun there. Well done.
Thank you. But not in a terrifying way. That's the thing. In a way that had me smiling from minute one to minute 99, it's a delightful movie that's got, at the centre of it, several storylines that are both emotional and hard-hitting, but they're done in such a way that it kind of feels light and jovial, and there's jokes in there as well. And the movie just strikes that right balance for all of it, really, in that this is going to appeal across the board to all ages. It really is. Yeah. The animation is gorgeous, but as I said, that's been a main staple of Cartoon Saloon's output since the beginning anyway. Their animation is just sublime, really. The voice cast is superb.
I was just looking at some of the people, recognisable faces. You've got the guy from Stranger Things, Gaten Matarazzo.
Yes.
Ian McShane's in there. Chris O'Dowd's in there. Alan Cumming's in there.
Rita Moreno.
You've got Whoopi Goldberg in there.
Whoopi Goldberg. See, this is the thing. People are crying out to work with Cartoon Saloon now. That's the thing. They really are.
Yeah.
So they've got it. Why not? So the voice cast is super. The story is superb. The direction is smooth and really chilled. It's like the type of movie you just put on, you just relax into, and it's just a delight. This is just another winning movie from Cartoon Saloon that I just loved, absolutely loved it. And as I said, this is going to appeal to all ages.
So it's suitable for the kids, but if you're a big kid, you'd enjoy it as well.
You don't, do you know what, saying big kid, no, you can be an adult. You can, can be, you know, you can be all of that. There's something in here for everybody. And I get the feeling that when I rewatch it again, I'll pick out more stuff and I go, huh. That's interesting. I didn't see that the first time. I genuinely think there is a lot of multi-layered stories here that I really didn't pick up on first time. But it's just wonderful. And the weird thing is, you look at the poster, you've seen the poster as well, is that it looks a little bit basic.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like, I'm going back here a bit, it looks like it's been made with fuzzy felts.
Yeah, it does actually.
It does look like it's been made with fuzzy felts. It's not, sticking. It's an animation. But you look at it and you go, oh, I'm not sure about that. Trust me, when you watch it, gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous and wonderful and delightful and funny and emotional. And, you know, all of these words that we can associate with Cartoon Saloon movies, really.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. I was worried we'd be breathing fire about it.
Oh, dear. But I am breathing fire, but in a nice way, in a way of saying, yes, you should see this. This is absolutely wonderful. It's one of the best animation movies of the year. In a year where animation has been absolutely top draw. Top. I mean, we'll talk about this next month when we do our roundup of the year. But really, animation has been amazing this year. Absolutely amazing.
Excellent. We've had some good contenders for that. For
we
that
really
list
have.
In recent times as well, yeah.
We really have. Yeah, you're right. We really have. Every time. You know, it's been rare. I'm trying to think of a movie, an animation movie, where we've gone, no, that's not very good at all. It, you know, we've probably done one or two, maybe, if that.
I dare say there's a few.
There's a few, possibly, but I think for the rest of it, anytime we've talked, this is an animation movie, we've gone, it's fantastic, it's gorgeous, it's brilliant, you know. I think that's the beauty of it.
Nice. What you got for us on the podcast, Mark?
So we've got a movie out on DVD and Blu-ray, which is called Wild Hood. It's about two brothers who embark on a journey to find their birth mother after their abusive father had lied for years about her whereabouts. Along the way, they reconnect with their indigenous heritage and make a new friend. Now, me and you have spoken a lot, not just this year, but last year and the year before and the year before that, about there are too many new movies being released every week. We just can't keep up.
Yeah, there's quite a few, isn't there?
There's a lot, you know, and there are movies that we just don't get round to reviewing, unfortunately.
I mean, you do spend about 23 of your 24 hours a day watching films.
Well, that's true. Yes, yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. I mean, as much as, you know, that's a funny joke, it is kind of true. But you just can't keep up. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of the smaller films that come out do get lost along the way.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I felt like Wild Hood was one of those when it got released earlier this year in cinemas. So that's why I think it's important to review this film, because not only is it a good film, it's also a film dealing with diversity and heritage. And over the past few years, these things have become more and more important in filmmaking. So while Wild Hood may be a small film, I think it's an important film. It's also a delightful movie as well. That's the thing. So it is a coming-of-age drama that's got a few touches of comedy in it. The two brothers, who are called Link and Skater, you're kind of typically, you know, big little brother combo when we meet them. They're getting into trouble with the police, but still having a fun time. However, the abuse that they receive from their father sends them off on a road trip to find their mother. Now, within the first 20 minutes, the film has dealt with the really heavy subject matter of family abuse. Mm. And it's done in such a way that we understand the conditions the brothers are living under and why they want to escape, but it's not done in, it's not showy, shall we say.
Not too graphic.
You already know. That's the thing. Yeah. You already understand the situation that they're living in. And I think, you know, that's all done in the first 20 minutes. So I think that's impressive filmmaking, considering, you know, here's the first 20 minutes and you already understand the situation these two boys are in, why they want to find their real mother, and then they escape. So you're like, wow, this is really good stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
Then the film sets out on this coming-of-age road trip where the brothers meet Pasme along the way, and he's got a very chilled demeanour. He is super chilled. He's the type of guy who I would hang around with because he's so chilled out. And because he's so chilled, it actually helps Link and Skater. You know, he's very comfortable in his own skin. He's already got a fixed path of adulthood as well. And his influence very early on, especially on Link, is evident. And these things start to build, feelings start to build. And then the next step in the film's theme, which is a look at the struggles of sexual identity in teenagers, and especially those of Indigenous heritage who possibly don't have much knowledge or help, as you know, most would get it when it comes to difficult things at that time of coming of age, you know, through puberty. And that's really tough to be able to put on screen and do it in such a way that not only is it dealing with coming of age, it's also dealing with it on an Indigenous heritage level as well.
That's a lot to explain
It is a lot to explain. It really is. And it is serious. That's when it gets a bit serious. But I'll say this, it plays out with a lot of tenderness. And I once again, I really like that about it. I like the fact that it was going, okay, we're going to be serious about this, but at the same time, we're going to do it very easily. And, you know, as I said, one of the characters, Pasme, is chilled. And that's the way it's told. It's told in a very chilled way. So, as I said, this film, it might be a small release, but it's got such a big heart. And it's dealing with some really sensitive and heavy subjects. And yet they're done in a way that it never feels like it is a difficult watch at all. I mean, yes, we're talking about abuse, family abuse here, but because of how it's done, it just doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. I mean, yes, it does make you feel uncomfortable to a certain degree, but not the way that a lot of films probably could have done. This film is really engaging, and I think it's really thoughtful on several human subjects that probably a lot of us have never seen in movies, to be honest with you. So I thought this was a standout, to be honest with you. I mean, we've had a good week, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, very good film. My Father's Dragon, excellent film. We're going to finish with another really good movie. And I like that about it. So as I said, it's a small movie, but there are some really important subjects that are deserving to be seen on screen. You know, we've spoken many times about the fact that we need diversity in movies and on the screen. And this is one of those movies. So I really hope people give it a chance because, as I said, when it went to the cinemas earlier this year, it was kind of overlooked because, you know, well, as we said, too many movies. Now it's on DVD and Blu-ray. It's well worth seeing. It's such a lovely movie. It really is.
Excellent. So kudos to Breton Hannum who wrote it. A little bit, sounds to me kind of like a modern day Roald Dahl sort of story where you're taking a bit of child abuse or something difficult like that and turning it into
something
a picture. That's actually quite beautiful. Yeah,
taking a negative and putting it into a positive.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's what we're looking at with this movie. Absolutely.
And Wild Hood sounds like a genius title for the whole thing, I have to say.
It's such a good title, isn't it? Yeah. It's such a good title, and it fits perfectly. It really does.
But you were wild about it.
I am. I genuinely am. I really am. Yeah, absolutely.
She's out on DVD now?
DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Excellent. And what you got for us next week, Mark? How can we follow this week? It's a tough one.
It's a good question. But next week, we're going to be talking about a new film starring Florence Pugh. This is a period drama called The Wonder.
Ooh.
And it's been getting rave reviews at film festivals. It's dropping on Netflix next week.
We love Florence.
About that. We do love Florence. There's somebody, well, we'll talk about it next week, but there's somebody who should be winning an Oscar within the next 2 years, to be honest with you, if she carries on the way she's doing. But we'll talk about that next week. Also, we will be talking about our first Christmas movie.
Oh, here we go. It's
here
arriving.
We go. Listen,
you dropped the C word.
We got into mid-November before we did our first Christmas movie.
It's not bad.
We're going to have to do it. It's not bad. So we're going to have to do it. We're going to be talking Spirited, which is the new Christmas movie starring Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
Oh, okay. I've seen some fairly strange trailers so far.
Yes. So we're going to be dealing with those, basically. And then we might also be dealing with a sequel to a very, very wintry, festive movie as well. I don't want to give the secret away too much. So, okay. It's going to have a festive feel to it next week.
Does it involve anybody crawling through an air ventilation shaft moaning about having a normal Christmas?
It doesn't, no. No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. Damn. No, that's a whole other subject, that is.
Well, I look forward to joining you next week. I'll get my Christmas jumper out.
Get your Christmas jumper out. I'm going to get my Christmas hat out as well.
Oh, not that one.
Yes, that one. Yes.
Film reviews and movie news with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.